What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
I'm Chi.
I'm Minnie. And I'm Emilio. Well, we're missing.
Your mini voice is way off.
I didn't know what to do. I caught myself by this. I live by the second. I have no idea. I don't plan shit out. Yeah. Chi is in the hinterlands, and Minnie is in the opposite. He's in the desert. So, yeah.
Two-man show. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Going back to the roots.
This is the OG.
That's how it started.
First three episodes, four or five episodes.
Yeah. No, there was more than that. I don't think Chad came on until months later. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Chad, he made an appearance last night.
He did.
He came by. He's got long hair.
Yeah. I think he's growing his hair out because he's getting married, and he wants as many options as possible.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it looks ridiculous. His whole appearance was ridiculous last night.
It was bizarre. Well, it was very 90s. It was like parted in the middle and hanging down on the sides. He looked like he was coming out of a Friends episode or something. Yeah.
And he got drunk first, and he was making a bunch of jokes that didn't land. It was interesting.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good time. Yeah, we celebrated Emilio's birthday last night. A whole bunch of people were here. A whole bunch of people playing VR. That was interesting. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, check out the Discord. I posted some photos of what happened. It was a surprise party, and goddamn, my girlfriend Sam really, really put in a lot of work. To fool this guy takes a lot. Takes a lot.
the detective.
At least a third grade education, if you're going to fool me. Because not only did she do everything right, like, on making me feel like nobody was going to come, but every time that I started to get suspicious, she'd start a fight with me and like make
just it, to like, cover it up.
Yeah. Like, you're an asshole. I'm like, what? No, I'm like, hey, why are there all these chairs here? Hey, fuck you. You're a dick. And I'm like, what? And then we'd go off into an argument, and then it worked. It worked. Something like 50 people showed up for my 40th birthday. It was awesome.
It was a big crowd.
Yeah, thanks.
Had a taco cart.
Taquero. He came out. Those things. Dude, what do you think that would cost?
I don't know. To be catered like that?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's why I was guessing. Or I want you to guess.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know where to start guessing.
That's why it's fun.
Yeah. Go ahead. I don't know. Because I know mariachi bands are very expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive too.
Yeah.
Mexicans are expensive too.
Except for manual labor. I mean, they're pretty reasonable when it comes to that.
They're not, dude. It's really? $150 a day.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Did not know
that. You have a guess on the taquero prices?
I'm going to go $1,000. It's got to be more.
$550. Yeah.
Okay. That's a deal. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. It just started, Chosen. I know you can't tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's going to be one of those episodes.
It was my best birthday ever. It was fucking fantastic. You don't turn 40 every day, you know?
Yeah. Got 40. Whew. Yeah. Shit. I think I met you when you were 30, and back then I was like, fuck, this guy is old, and now you're 40.
Rude. So many levels of rude.
I'm 5 years behind you. Yeah, I'll be there soon.
That's true. Oh. This just in, Bobby's girlfriend's a real person. I met her. Unless animatronics have it, new levels. I gave her a hug, I think. I think she's made of solid material, not light. And she didn't even know about the running joke about her not being real. I had to let her in. She's a very cool person. I'm not just saying that. She saw some Rick and Morty thing, and she was like, oh, is that interdimensional cable channel? And I was like, whoa.
She
knows Rick and Morty.
She got me the Pickle Rick, which we have up here in the studio.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she also got me...
Is that PopCap? That makes that one?
Yeah. What is that, what they have? Funko, PopCap? Yeah. Whoever makes not the bobbleheads, but, you know, those little things. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's very... That's why I wanted her to check out the Rick and Morty VR game, because I knew she'd get a kick out of that.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Well, everybody likes Rick and Morty, man. It's such a great show.
Yeah. How old is too old to podcast, Bobby? I mean, for this show.
For this show?
Like, when are we retiring this?
Dude, I think we get better as we get older.
Speaking of which, when Toys R Us signed off this week, was there any nostalgia there for you?
A little bit. Not a whole lot. I didn't watch any of that. Like, the whole... I saw some news articles about them.
Do you see any memes or anything?
No.
anyway, they tweeted out like
never grow
play
up.
On and yeah. play on and never grow up. I thought it was, I had felt nothing until I saw that line. I was like, oh, that's pretty nice. And yeah. then there was a picture of a bunch of like Ninja Turtles and He-Man figures all waving goodbye. There's some nice memes.
Yeah.
Should have ran your company better.
Well, I don't know, man. There's a lot of reasons I think that failed, and there's plenty of YouTube videos out there that would love to explain it to you, but that's not what we do here on this podcast.
No, let's do it. No, I have no idea.
Just a quick announcement. I will be going to Blizzard Arena again. I don't know if anyone lives in the LA area, but August 12th, I'm going to be at Blizzard Arena for the Western Clash, Heroes of the Storm. It's going to be the grand final. It's going to be great. That is the last day of vacation for me, too. So I'm excited that that's how I'm going to cap off my vacation.
So is it, you said the grand finals?
The grand finals for the Western Clash, which is just the European and the North American teams, but still, gotcha. It's going to be a great match.
Yeah, and those are the best players in the world. Oh, I mean, of them.
They're not counting the Koreans.
Right.
But yeah, Europe's very good.
Yeah, I might go with you. Just keep reminding me.
Well, it's $25 for the grand finals. Okay, $15 for the other games, like the first 2 days.
Oh, gotcha. Are you going for all 3 games?
No. Oh, okay. Oh, God, no. I'm just going for the grand finals. And it's at 9 in the morning, so I'm hoping it'll only take me about 2 hours to get up there. Last time, I spent 4 hours driving up there, 4 hours driving back. I only stayed at it for 2 or 3 hours because I had something to do that night.
But that's
I was
committed. Rough,
that was for Heroes of the Dorm back in May.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'll be doing that. If anyone else is going, hit me up. And also, we have a new Patreon.
Yeah, Brian, thank you so much for the hookup. Message me on Discord. I'll hook you up with a t-shirt. That's how that shit works.
Yep. Get a t-shirt.
Yep.
All right. And
they're pretty sweet, too. Check out the 80s theme one.
Yeah, that's a popular choice. Although I think the little logo with all the heads is... No, that one's not our most... The XCOM one is our most popular one.
That's a sweet one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's what we do. We just rob other people's ideas. We weren't the first podcast, nor the last.
Yep. All right, let's talk about some games that are on the radar. These have been suggested by some of our listeners here. The first one up is called Kenshi. This was recommended by Wilson on the Discord. So we took a look at this.
And we're more confused than we were before we saw.
It's a little confusing. So the description, I'll read it out. A free-roaming squad-based RPG focusing on open-ended sandbox gameplay features rather than a linear story, be a trader, thief, rebel, warlord, adventurer, farmer, slave, or just food for the cannibals, research new equipment and craft new gear.
So basically, I think, you know, there's no story. You just play the game and the story evolves throughout. It's a tricky path to go through because random things happen to you, right? But if those things don't happen to you, you can have a really boring experience. Some of my best gaming memories, or one of them, came from Rust. When we were playing Rust, we had this like war with a tribe that was near us, and we were at night fighting them, and there was no, you know, you don't know who's friend or foe, and it's just a nighttime battle, and we won, and it was great. But that might have never happened, and my idea of Rust could have been higher or lower because of that one battle. Mm-hmm. Like that one battle was so amazing. I had such a good time. But if that shit doesn't happen, that's when you don't have a structured storyline or a progression system. I'm not saying they're doing something wrong. I'm just saying you run the risk of players just having the most boring route possible. Yeah.
Having a bad experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The graphics do not look good this game.
It looks like EverQuest 1.
Yeah.
That might be a little overcritical, but...
The reviews are fairly positive.
Yeah, it's only $17, too, or $16.
Yeah. It's on sale right now for $15.99, regularly $20.
I'm kind of, like, intrigued a bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused as to what this game really is. It seems almost... From some of the screenshots and videos, it almost seems like a base-building game.
Yeah, it looks like you're out there trying to survive in the wasteland, and then part of that is... making a base. It's got everything. It's a living in the wasteland simulator.
Yeah, it is early access.
Yeah.
So, work in progress.
So, we'll see.
Not entirely sold on it. Maybe if someone plays it and it's like, hey, you got to try this, then I'd check it out. All right, next up, Railway Empire.
So, I don't know if Ghost Nico is trolling with this one. It sounds like it. I haven't taken a look.
Train game?
Yeah, just because it's a train game.
So it is a, oh, they have someone streaming right now. They must be promoting it. It is a strategy simulation management. So kind of like a lot of those train sims that are on Steam right now.
Sure.
Creating a laboratory. I don't know, man. I played one of these games one time, like several years ago.
Yeah.
I kind of played it a little bit, and it was like playing with a virtual train set. Because people are really into that, man. Like,
I've never had train a train sets. Set. So I was that, is that a good thing?
Well, I never had one either, but I remember my grandfather did, but it was like old and he didn't really take care of it. And he kind of just like covered it up and left it there. But I was always fascinated by it because it was like that little model town, like in Beetlejuice.
Right.
And as a kid, it just looked very cool. And there's some adults that are like seriously into this, you know,
like the whole
base. It's a big hobby. So I don't know. Maybe those type of people would enjoy this. I always picture the type of people who are into train sims are the same ones who are into flight sims. Like it's just a niche.
Sure. There's a when I was really heavy into Skyrim mods, there was this one called there were one of the modders was called Train Master or some shit. Anyway, all he would do is just mod trains into Skyrim. So he made a whole subterranean like subway system. He made like certain spells just rain trains down from the sky. Everything. Oh, he turned Alduin, the worst dragon or the top dragon, into who's the one that's fuck little kids like the little train one with the face, Thomas, the blue face. Yeah, yeah, Thomas that guy. So he would fly down instead of Alduin and stuff.
Huh.
It was pretty good. He made some really, really good ones.
Dang. Yeah, I don't know if I can get into a train game, but they do. There is one train game where you buy DLC, and each DLC is like a track from this location to that location. One of them goes from San Diego to, I don't know, up to L.A. It's like the coaster that I've taken before. So I think that would be interesting just to see it from a virtual perspective. But I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I would have never. They're expensive, too.
Yeah.
They $35 on sale. Usually $50. And not to say that they're like trying to rob you. Like, I'm sure a lot of work goes into these things. But I wouldn't appreciate that hard work. Yeah. So.
Well, it's got some DLC, Railway Empire Mexico.
Oh, I hope that's free.
$7.99. Does this just go down to.
It just goes
down. Yeah, dude. You got the Mayan
temples.
Mayan temples there. The Mexican flag on the front of that.
There's zero heads exploding in this game, so I'll take a pass.
Yeah, I don't know. Train sims, not selling here.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some games we've been playing. I cannot keep track of time or like what's happening because I'm on vacation. I don't even know what day it is, man. It could be Thursday right now. But on the last podcast, did I talk about finishing Gun?
You think I was listening?
Probably not.
No, I was yelling at you for playing it, I think. Yeah, and you said you were going to finish it.
Yeah. Okay, I did finish it. Final thoughts on that game. So Gun was that Western shooter.
Kind of like a proto.
Like an early version of Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. I finally got around to finishing it. Pretty short game, maybe about 5 hours. A lot of side quests that are optional to power up your character, not necessary. Kind of just went straight through it in 5 or 6 hours. I admire some of the things that they try to do in this game, but the thing that killed it for me was the auto aim. The last boss fight, I was streaming this. I know a couple of people were watching. They saw me struggling with it. It was embarrassing, but it took me a while. it was pretty good. The last boss fight was pretty good. And they just don't do boss fights anymore. As I was playing this, I was like, if this were a game that came out today, it would just be a cutscene or a quick time event or something like that. Like they just don't, I don't know. They don't do boss fights anymore unless it's like a platformer.
And you're sorry to see that go.
Yeah, so I like playing old games where they actually do that. Like, I got to the final boss, and I was like, because it was such an old game, I was like, I know this is going to be difficult. And it was. And what really made it difficult, and this was kind of frustrating, was they forced auto-aim on you in this game. Like, you couldn't turn it off.
So why are you saying that made it harder, though?
That's a tool
to help you, usually.
Because you had to do tricky. He threw up dynamite. You had to shoot the dynamite while it was in the air. And then it would try to jerk the aim away, and I couldn't aim it. The auto aim was fucked up. It wasn't operating correctly. So it ended up being more of a hindrance than a help.
And yeah, I think you just hooked.
No, dude, it was rough. I mean, it was a, other than that, it was kind of a difficult boss fight just to figure out what you were supposed to do, but I can appreciate that. However, the auto aim screwed with me the entire game, and that was very frustrating. But I don't know, man. Like, I'll talk about
it. You said it was a bad game last week, and you're going to stick to that, right?
It's not a good game. I like what they tried to do, man. I like the open world thing that they went for. It's like it totally is like an early Red Dead.
Sure, but then when Red Dead comes out, you're going to not care at all. You're going to be like, ah, it's not my kind of game.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
But Red Dead's not going to be 5 hours long, dude. I'll spend 5 hours on a game that's not good.
Yeah. All right.
All right. And we got a chance to play a game today. Or not today, but this week.
We did.
Yeah, Dying Light, The Following, the DLC.
We played, what, 4 hours, maybe?
Yeah, we got a good amount of gaming in. And I think, I want to say we're pretty far into the DLC, like over halfway.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't check any of the metrics.
Based on one of the talent trees, because the way this game works is really interesting. So the first one, it's very linear. You go here, you go there, you meet this guy, you get that quest, and there's some optional side quests for you to do. But really, there's a main quest line. This one is way more open world in design and also in just the landscape. Like the original base game, you're hopping from... There's no vehicles, you're hopping from... building to building, but in The Following, you get a vehicle, which is your own personal vehicle that you got to maintain and upgrade, and there's these big open areas, and that's how you get around.
But the first game wasn't like hallway linear.
No.
You're in a big city.
No, it's a sandbox.
And you can get there however you want, but the missions were very linear.
The missions were. And in this one, the way they do the missions is, your mission is just to do a bunch of side quests and earn reputation with this group of people. So however you choose to do it, that's your option.
Yeah,
so
and it forces you into the side quest, right? Because you can't get the next main story quest until your reputation hits a certain mark,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So yeah, they're making you. And I don't care. Like I want to do side quests. Bobby just wanted to do the main quest. What do you think so far, Bobby? Because you're coming fresh off the first one.
Mm-hmm.
What I do like, I gotta say, at least it wasn't more of the same.
Yeah.
They went from a city to an open world, just fields and zombies in fields, and you're like it feels like a 1.5 or like
they had all the good stuff from the original base game, and then they changed it enough to where it felt fresh.
Right.
And
which is what you want from
too.
A sequel, really.
Yeah, they handled it very well.
Yeah,
and this feels more like these people kept coming into our games, and they'd have these numbers next to them, and finally one of them explained to me that. That was called a legendary or a legend number. So that means they've 100% beat the game, and now they're earning levels on top of that. So they're just super high-level people with really good gear. People spend a lot of time in this game, and I think it's with this DLC, because this feels more like that online mode of Grand Theft Auto 5, you know, where people just go in there, they do quests together, or they do missions, or whatever they call it, and they just kind of run around and shoot each other. This feels more like an open world, yet... like almost like an MMO, but you can only have 4 people in it.
I do have to say, this is one of these rare games that I think I'd rather play alone. Not that you're a dick, Bobby. Actually, I enjoyed your company. But
well, they don't make it easy to play with people.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. Yeah, because everybody has to be around the quest giver when he gives a quest. You can't just hear the audio. You have to like physically be there. You can teleport there, which makes it nicer.
You can kind of use it as a cheat. So if someone's on the other side of the map, you talk to a quest giver, and the other person gets the option to teleport to you where that quest giver is. So you can kind of use it as a teleport.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the easiest thing in the world. It's not the worst thing either, the multiplayer connection. But really what I was talking about is like the big thing for the first game for me was fear. And I haven't felt fear for a second because I'm surrounded by friends and we're okay. Even if they're on the other side of the map, and I get killed by something, I'd be like, oh, shit, I died.
It's not scary when you play with other
people. It's not scary at all.
I played through the main base game with other people for the most part, and it wasn't that scary. I played a little bit of it by myself, and it definitely had a different feeling.
For sure. So you're almost taking... one of, if not the most important element out of this game. And it's one of the selling points, you know? So it's hard for me to, like, want to play. And the other thing, the story elements make more sense and you're more in tune when those cutscenes happen, mm-hmm. if you actually feel like you're this whatever Nathan Crane or whatever his name is.
Yeah, because they treat the entire story like they're talking to one person. So when there's two of you, it kind of kind of breaks that illusion.
Yeah,
yeah.
So fun. Oh, and that's the other thing. It's not fun. I'm not complaining. Like, I really felt like we were in this giant, like, sandbox, and they were just like, go have fun. Just do whatever the fuck you want. Run your buggies. Run over zombies. Really fun. I would say the following is probably better multiplayer. The first game, probably better single player. But obviously, both really good games. And you can buy the following right now for $6.79.
Well, yeah, but you buy Dying Light, the enhanced edition, which includes the season pass and all that stuff, for $20, $19.79.
If you haven't pulled the trigger on this, please do so. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, I'm excited for Dying Light 2. After playing through this one, I really am curious to see what they do with the next one. Yep. Hey, what's up, Scott? Yeah, no Mini today. Archie. People keep showing up. They're like, where's Mini? Where's Chi?
We
know who the popular ones are on this podcast now.
They're blowing us. You can guess who's on who.
I can't, and I don't want to. Oh, God. So I've been going from old game to old game. I'm excited to talk about this one. I played Gun, which came out in 2005, I believe, old game. And I moved over to another one, Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords. I was really excited to play this game. I have tried two or three different times, and I just couldn't get into it for a whole bunch of reasons. One of those being like technical. So the story with this is Obsidian released it in 2004, and it was rushed to release. Like, they didn't finish making the game, but they said, we got to release it. So there's a bunch of content that was missing. So they have all these patches out there that are called restored content. They've got a big, long name, but they basically restore all that content to it. Not only that, but there's a bunch of patches that, well, other than changing things, can retexture to make it look better, can do widescreen fixes.
Wait. You're not mods?
No, these are mods. You can get them in the Steam Workshop.
Oh, you're calling patches. You said patches.
Yeah, not patches. Well, community-made patches. But I had a lot of trouble getting these to work before, but then I found out that you can get them in the Steam Workshop.
Which always work.
Yeah.
They never not don't work.
You click a button and it's there.
Yeah.
So I did that and got right in, and everything was working great. There is some weird bug I'm having that a lot of people have, where after a lot of fights, like 90% of the fights, my character just doesn't move. I quick save, quick load, and it's fine, or I switch to another character and I can move.
This is an RPG, right? Action RPG?
Yeah, it's an RPG.
So this is a action RPG, though? Like,
no, straight up RPG.
Like
straight up
turn-based like combat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no aiming or anything like that involved.
Okay.
But this is like a touchstone for a lot of gamers out there, PC gamers especially. So I'm glad I'm finally playing it, and it was just what I was looking for. You know, it's an old game, it's Star Wars, and you know how I don't like RPGs. So it's got to be thematically something that I like, is what I realized. Like the whole Cyberpunk 2077 thing, I'm like, why do I like that? Why am I interested in that game, and I hate all these other RPGs? And I think it's just the theme. And, you know, Star Wars is an easy sell for me. So.
But KOTOR 1 is the big one that everybody talks about, right?
See, I don't know. I don't know which one.
I feel like that's the one that everybody's like, that's one of the best games of all time. I don't think I've heard of 2 very much, but I don't know.
See, I thought 2 was the most popular one. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
There are plenty of people on Discord.
Welcome to the No Confidence Podcast, guys.
But Discord will tell us, because when I started playing this game, a bunch of people on Discord were like, oh my God, you're playing this? Awesome.
I saw that.
Yeah, I streamed quite a bit of it too. And people, you know, Warconius Recycled dropped in and watched me for a long time. And I think it was cool for them to kind of relive this game. It is a good game. Like, it's a solid RPG. Just like Gun feels like an early attempt at Red Dead Redemption, this feels like an early attempt at Mass Effect. This feels like Mass Effect came out 5 years earlier with the technology and, you know, the best game design they had at the time. And it has the same thing that Gun does. It's just an empty environment. Like 2004, 2005, Dying Light, you walk around that world, it feels like a lived-in environment. Now, they reuse the same assets. So you walk into one person's apartment, they got the same pictures of cats and their family on the wall as the person next door on the other side of town. But there's a lot of stuff around, you know, there's just things everywhere. Dude, you walk into these like Gunn and our KOTOR too. You walk into a room, there's just nothing. There's like two NPCs walking down a hallway, like a plant in the corner. It's just barren, you know? And those are the games that I remember when I was young. But I'm not going to hold that against it. I will say this, though, and I'm not holding this against it. These are minor nitpicks. The voice acting, not great, dude. Voice acting was just not a priority back then. It sounds like... And it's not that it's
bad. Bob, you want to do the voice of...
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Sultasil or whatever.
They just had Miranda's doing it. But you can tell everything was recorded in a studio. Everything sounds like this. Like, I'm talking real close to my mic right now. This is what every piece of dialogue in KOTOR sounds like.
They didn't have anything better, Bobby. They couldn't. Well, maybe they could have.
Well, usually when you... You know, when you ADR, like in a movie, you have to replicate the sound for the environment.
Right.
And back in 2004, 2005, they didn't give a shit about doing that. They're like, these are the lines, record them in a studio. It literally sounds like everybody's talking 2 inches from you. You hear the spit between their teeth when they talk, like every single line. And everyone like talks kind of quiet and calm in that game too. So I don't know. That draws me out of it. But I'm just like, dude, it's 2004. The game itself is great. It is like a true RPG. And it's a hell of a lot of fun.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, and it's long as hell. I looked it up on how long to beat, 30 hours. Completionist, 50.
Are you in for the long haul?
Well, I looked up the walkthrough, and I am roughly halfway through it, and I think I've spent about 12 hours. And it's a lot of dialogue, too. It's heavy on the dialogue.
Yeah.
So that takes up a lot of time.
Is it everything voice acted? No, they didn't do that back then, right?
So everything a lot is of voice text. Acted, except for the main character, silent protagonist, which is something we've kind of moved away from in the past decade, probably for the best. But, yeah, I'm going to play it till the end.
I feel the same way about boss fights. I think that the industry felt that, like you were talking about earlier, I think the industry was just like, you know, we don't need this anymore. Level, boss fight, level, boss fight.
Doing that because people get frustrated, and that's when they stop playing. Like, I think it's just to make it easier so people keep playing the game.
I disagree. I think, well, this is all just random, but I think it's people trying to be avant-garde and doing something new and, you know, I don't want to make Super Mario Brothers from 85. I want to do something. Yeah.
There's just not a lot of challenge in boss fights anymore. Looks like we got a question in chat. Should we save that?
Sure.
Questions? All right. I'm going to copy it. We'll get to that one, Junksor, because we definitely have an answer for that.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, I've been playing Knights of the Old Republic 2. Now, I'm going to be gone for a couple of days, but check me out streaming this later in the week. I'm going to continue this for sure.
It sounds like we've been drumming the drums. I don't know how you finish that one, of Deep Rock Galactic for 5 weeks now or whatever. But Bobby finally actually he played it before, but now he's finally got into it. Like, I don't know how much you played after we played, Bobby, a good amount.
Yeah, I've been just picking up games here and there. It's a great game to play with people. Like, I don't feel like, because a lot of times I don't want to play HOTS with people because they're not very good at it or something, and I'm just like, it's a stressful game. This is not stressful.
So. And I do have to add that Bobby is probably the best scout I've ever seen. Oh, I haven't played that much.
That really clicked for me, the whole role of the scout.
Yeah. And I still think he's the bottom tier, but like...
The scout. He's not great for the... No, he is good for the team. Like, he helps the team.
No, he's great for the team.
But he's really good for himself. Like, I feel so limited playing any other class than the scout in Deep Rock Galactic.
But, like, if you're going to put together a team of three, I don't think I'd put the scout on that team.
I think so. Because the scout gets to all those hard-to-reach places.
Yeah, and that's what I didn't, like... realize and didn't give credit to he can get around and get those hard to reach places really quick, and the entire experience goes by way faster if you have a scout, especially if you have an engineer making platforms. And so you're getting less overall waves of enemies throughout the game because you're mining so quickly, and it just moves on. And
when people do their job well, then it goes a lot quicker. I've been jumping into random games and meeting some people who are... This game attracts a lot of friendly players, too. I've met a lot of cool people.
Yes, yeah, people who want to work together.
Yeah.
I haven't even run into one asshole. Maybe some dummies, but no assholes. This reminds me of a lot of my early Steam game friends, or mid-Steam game friends, all came from... Left 4 Dead 2 or Left 4 Dead. Like, that's where, because you're working together and you just, you're like, oh, I can trust this guy. And yeah. you send them a friend request. And that's the exact same thing that's happening here. This is a game that makes friends. Like, I've made like two or three randos. If you go to their Discord too, you can pick up a team instantly.
Yeah.
So that's nice as well.
Yeah, it's a good game. It really clicked for me this week. Like, this was the week where I was like, I got the game. Like, it, good. I understood it.
I'm glad.
So, yeah, I will be playing more of that in the future. I know a bunch of people on our Discord have picked it up. It's just going to be one of those go-to games for me. So what I hope for in the future, because I'm only 15 hours into this game, and I'm loving it, but I see how I could get saturated on all the content. I could eat up all the content, level up all my characters, especially the scout, and then kind of lose interest. So I know this is still in early access, right?
Yeah, it's kind of happened to me because I finally maxed out my driller.
Yeah, and that's your main guy.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm a good driller, but my account level is only 8. And I was playing guys that are like level 6, but their account level is 20. He's like, dude, you got to play the other classes. And they kind of pigeonhole you into playing the other ones. Which, I kind of get it, but I'm like disgruntledly making sentries because it's like...
But either way, that's going to happen. So they're going to need to add more stuff, either new classes or more like end game content, harder things to run, more things to upgrade on a class.
So I don't know if you listened to the interview, but Soren was saying that more biomes and more monsters is easy. He's like, we have no problem with that. That's easy. The hard part is... the branching perk systems, the adding more to the classes or adding a whole new class on its own.
And the new biomes and monsters is great, but eventually I think they will need to add more to the class systems and the talent trees. And I really do like, that's what keeps this game fresh after so many runs. Like, there was one that we did where we thought it was going to be fairly easy, but then we got in there and it was like one large cavern. And, of course, I'm the scout, man. I'm zipping all over the place. No problem. But everyone else was really having a tough time in there. That was a very challenging...
Was that the one, the sandstorm one, with blowing us around?
Oh, that one was a mess, too.
That was a mess, too.
No, I'm talking about the one where...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spiky things. Just one large cavern.
Yep.
And that's what makes this game fresh and interesting, is every time you play, it's going to be different. It's all procedurally generated. So it's never the same map twice. Even though everything's generally the same, like, they all have different contours and other things that could be different about them.
I felt like a fucking dickhead that game because that was my record for dying. I died like 11 times that game. It was fucking ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Dude, I've gotten so good on the scout that I can like zip line to something and then cancel my zip line and then drop down on something else. Like, I'm like Spider-Man now. He's so good. And what was happening, we were playing with someone else at first who was playing the scout and I was playing a different class. And when you commit to one class and you do it really well, then you see someone else play it, you start picking out all the things that they're doing wrong. So I'm like constantly like, can we get a light here? Can we get a light? Because the scout has that very bright light that he puts up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting super annoyed.
Yeah. But it's a great game, man. Deep Rock Galactic.
If you need a scout, let Bobby know. If you need a driller, don't contact me because I got to work on my other ones.
Yeah. Well, we do. We all switched classes. Then we started... A new run.
And that was our last run, I think.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
All right. What else we've been playing here? Beat Saber. So I wanted to talk about this, not necessarily Beat Saber, but at the party you were having last night, we had a ton of people. It was like an amusement park ride. People just coming in, playing VR. I saw so many people play VR.
For the first time.
And two things. Number one, they loved it. Everybody loved it.
Not one person was like...
It was a hit.
Well, there was a lot of people that
were scared,
wouldn't play.
Yeah.
Because they're embarrassed of being in front of people watching.
But number two, everybody was accidentally hitting the menu button constantly. Oh,
yeah, especially on Beat Saber.
Yeah. So is that, now as someone who's played VR a lot, is that something that you think is an issue with it? Or do you just have to spend time with it, get used to the controls, and then you don't accidentally hit the menu button?
I've talked about this before on Discord. I really, really appreciate the design and what they were going for with those controllers. Like, we're going to do something complete. If you take a look at them, they look like a starship. Like, they look super weird and out there. And you're like, okay, it's completely ergonomic. And but there's buttons everywhere. And unfortunately, when people get excited, they grip. That's just a natural human thing. So what ends up happening is you... click things inadvertently all the time. After you learn a lot, like I probably have 100 hours in VR now. You'd learn to ignore them. But the other thing that fucks you up is that all the games have different layouts. Maybe they'll use this button for teleporting as opposed to this one. And then you get super confused because it's a new mapping and you're not going to remap.
Consoles, I don't know controllers very well, but even with consoles, there is a generally accepted layout of the buttons, like key binds.
Right. Like jump is usually X.
And like Y is strong attack.
Right.
The other one's light attack. Yeah. There's a generally accepted layout for that.
Not for this. This is Wild West as far as like controllers and stuff like that. I mean, layouts and mappings. Mm-hmm. But there's a new set of controllers coming out. And that set of controllers came with a new game from Steam. It's not really a game. It's more of a like a tech demo that shows off the new controllers. It's like you're playing on the moon, and it's just you're playing with a bunch of stuff on the moon. And the controllers look super futuristic, even more than these ones.
Do you know what those are called? Is it for the Vive?
Yeah, Vive. Vive new controller. Try that. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh, I've seen those.
Yeah, man.
Those look weird.
Yeah.
They look like brass knuckles or something.
Yeah, they do. So it wraps around the center of your hand, kind of like the thick part of your hand, and just above your thumb, and it reaches out like a node in front of your hands. So you have two platforms that are kind of levitating right in front of your hands. It's very hard to describe.
That's odd, yeah.
What'd you say, Bobby? Like two mouse-sized controllers floating in front of your
fingertips. What was the Nintendo one, the Wii one? It almost looks like those, like almost like a little
like joystick. A Joy-Con?
Yeah, but then it wraps around the back of your hand.
So you don't have to hold it. That was the big thing. That was the problem. Now that I'm looking at it, and like as I'm thinking this through, the problem with the Vive controller is that it's full of buttons and you still have to hold the thing. Mm-hmm. In holding, you're hitting these buttons. Now they're taking away the hold because it's just levitating there because it's wrapped around the back of your hands. And now you just push buttons in front of you.
Yeah, that's smart. It seems like it would work better. But
yes.
You'd have to try it out.
Yeah, we'd have to try it out. But it also seems like it would be way, way, way more immersive, right? Because like when you reach out with your hand, your hand's going to be reaching the way that it would be if it was a real hand. You know what I mean? Because like it's going to know what angle your hand is going at. When you're holding that other controller, it was not natural. If you go to grab that gun, it wasn't a natural form. You had to hold the controller.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man, these are.
I do think there's a lot of room to improve
on
the controllers, though, especially after seeing that last night with so many people. It was like literally every 30 seconds into the game, boop, and nobody knew how to like figure out how to, look down, hit Beat Saber. I don't see it. And then you'd have to put on the headset. It just killed the flow.
It killed the flow of the whole party. Of the room. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a party favor, fuck. People loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's too bad it's like a one-person experience, though.
Yeah.
And it's like Guitar Hero when it was your buddy's turn. They did do in Guitar Hero 2. I think that's when they did the multiplayer. But
yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that was cool. One more thing I want to talk about. Summer Games Done Quick. So this was June 24th to July 1st. It ended today. And, well, by the time you listen to this, it'll be later. But I had no idea this was happening. This is one of my favorite events of the year. I always love to watch it. And it totally slipped right by me. They did it a lot earlier than they usually do. And I didn't see any promotion anywhere.
So I haven't seen a promotion either, except for the one thing.
I was very surprised by this.
Cuphead, which I was interested in watching that.
So I did go back and watch some of the replays because I missed a lot of the good ones. I looked up the list. They were doing Dark Forces 2. They were doing Mysteries of the Sith. Those interested me. They were doing Deus Ex, the original one, which I've seen before.
Were you just wowed with the Dark Forces one? Because you played that game so much.
Yeah, I've seen that one before too, and that one's good. That one, of course, is my favorite because I recognize everything, and a part of me is like, "Oh, I could do that." No, I totally couldn't. But that one, the Deus Ex one, they did Mankind Divided. They even did this was really interesting. Warcraft 3, Reign of Chaos, the campaign? Just the undead part of the campaign. Okay. But I've never seen anyone speed
RTS
3. But apparently they do it. This guy just did the undead. Apparently one other time they did the human part of the campaign. But yeah, that was cool. But what I started to realize, this is my third or fourth year of really watching these speed runs, and you start to see the same ones over and over again, and they're the exact same thing. Maybe there's like some new discovery and like, oh, they shave off a few seconds here and they name it after the guy who discovered it, and like, oh, that's cool. But like, for the most part, you're watching the same thing over again, and it was almost like watching the same movie over again. I find myself becoming a little less interested. However, new games come out, people learn to speed run these, and those are new entertainment. And this year, the best thing was absolutely the Cuphead speed
run. So, did they use glitches, or they just beat it straight up?
They did use some glitches, and they called it Legacy, which I think means the first version of the game, because they said,
it had been patched through.
Yeah, I guess so, because they said, in the Legacy version, it works this way, so that's why he's doing it.
Gotcha.
But that, even though I didn't make it very far in Cuphead, that was such a hard game for me because of my inability to use controllers. I was so impressed by this run. I'll bring it up a little bit just so you can see.
Cool, yeah. I'm probably going to watch most of it later.
Yeah, it was about... Oh, how long was it? Summer Games done quick. It was about 50 minutes,
damn,
I think, that
damn
he put it in. Yeah, and the guy's name was the Mexican runner, TMR, and he was a really funny guy.
TMR and shoutouts. Whoops.
But a big part of these speedruns is not just the actual speedrunning itself, but the people who do it are very entertaining. They're like game show hosts. They're talking it up. They're having a few laughs. You know?
It's weird, too, because you wouldn't imagine that they'd be like that. Yeah,
yeah. Dude, I think they practice so much. It's just like second nature to them.
Makes sense.
So I don't know. But this guy was a riot. He was a lot of fun to watch. And the Covert Muffin, I think I watched his whole run of Warcraft 3. He's pretty entertaining. He does a lot of RTS games. But this guy, the Mexican runner, he does a lot of Super Nintendo games. He's known for doing a lot of the old retro stuff.
So you would you say that if nobody's seeing games done quit, probably the best way to do it is find something that you know really well and then watch it, right? That would be the best way to...
Yeah, find your game that you really like and watch someone speed run it. And they absolutely have it. They speed run so many games, old and new. But there's something about watching it live, and that's why I was so disappointed that I missed a lot of this stuff live. I love watching this stuff like while it's happening and just being part of the experience.
And them doing it twice a year, don't you think is a little more oversaturation, Bobby? I mean, obviously, something's
the
going
other one
on.
January is not quite as exciting for me. But I think twice a year is a good time to do it, because as new games come out and people start speedrunning them, you don't want to wait a whole year just to be able to see it. Of course, these people have their own followings. You could watch their Twitch channels and their YouTube videos and see it there.
Look at that. He just jumped over the boss.
Yeah, he jumped over that. And that's not a glitch, he was saying at that part. You can just jump over that B. That's like in the game.
Wow.
Something like that. Also, one thing I didn't notice about Cuphead, if you get through a level without hitting anybody, you get a grade P for pacifist.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's one level he did that. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, but this was great, man. You got to watch the whole thing. It was about a 50-minute run. It's on YouTube.
Why is this game so satisfying just to look at, dude?
It's the animation, dude. They killed it on the animation.
God, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so game's done quick. We won't be seeing that for a while again. But
yeah, when did they do the other one? Winter time sometime?
January, I believe.
Okay.
January or February. But they raised a record $2.1 million. I think
so it's growing.
Mm-hmm. It gets bigger and bigger every year.
Good for them. I thought maybe they're going the wrong direction. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah, no, it's a popular event. I would love to go to this live one year. They do it in, I think, Minnesota or Michigan or something.
Oh, it looks like Vegas. Well, it looks like the Evo tournament.
Yeah. Well, the summer one, I think, is always in, I want to say, Minnesota. And then I don't know where the one in January is.
Bobby, can we take a break?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
All right. And we're back. Watched a little of that Cuphead speed run on the break there. It's impressive, man.
Yeah, for sure. That guy's obviously super good. Getting into the news now.
Yep. The new, this episode is going so quick.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be our shortest one ever. All right, the news. So, Left 4 Dead developer hiring for unannounced AAA game in globally known franchise. This is from PC Gamer, an article on their website.
Hey, Bobby, so, why didn't they say Evolve developer?
I'll tell you why, dude. Because that game, that game practically ruined them. I mean, come on. Left 4 Dead developer sounds a lot better than Evolve developer. You know what's kind of fucked up is the... when they were marketing Evolve, they're like, from the makers of Left 4 Dead. So right. Yeah. You know, when they do it again, it's like, we've heard that one before.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's look at it objectively here. The mechanics and the graphics on Evolve were beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, they
right? I mean, yeah, like it played well.
It was the core of the gameplay.
The very core, the essence, the very theory of the game was flawed. But they took the shot. Like, it was fundamentally flawed. Everything else, all the bells and whistles were fine. They made a good game. Yeah. It just, the game that they, the actual game was not fun.
Well, hopefully this one will be better. There's not a lot of details on it, but it does say that it is advertised as a multiplayer FPS.
Globally known franchise. It's not going to be Star Wars.
Well, no, it couldn't be. There's a lot of
lot of Marvel stuff missing. There's no Marvel stuff out there.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that it could be. It's tough to speculate.
Could be Avengers.
Maybe we'll hear about it soon. But yeah, hopefully it's not Evolve. I mean, that is globally known. They wouldn't dare.
Ooh, I'm interested in this next one.
Next one, Slay the Spire adds third game mode, reaches 1 million copies. This, again, is from PC Gamer. I was kind of excited when I saw the title, but then when I started reading the article, it didn't seem as exciting to me. So the new mode that they're adding is a custom mode, almost like a sandbox mode where you can turn things off and on. It says offers a variety of modifiers to switch on and off that will drastically change your next run.
Dude, are people using these things? Because I never use the modifiers, build your own game
thing. I never do. I feel like when they do that, it's like they're saying, hey, why don't you do the work? I'm like, no, that's your job, dude. Yeah. You're a developer, you make the game, I play it.
I mean, I get it. Where like you're playing towards so many different skill levels, like for instance, I beat Cuphead and you are not good on the controller. So like for me, they properly made it difficult, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe a little more, a little too much pepper on that one. But and then for you, it was way too much. So
yeah.
Like, I get where they're coming from, but I've never used these modifiers ever, except for there has been some games where when you give yourself a bonus, it'll give you a negative as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a couple times I've used that. But what was that, City of Brass, Bobby? Yeah, right? City of Brass.
Yeah, I never played that.
Yeah. That one lets you do this, and I'm like, fuck all these things.
Yeah. I don't know. Junksaur in chat said he played hours of this custom mode today and he liked it. So, hey, maybe it is good. I think when it comes to those sandbox or custom modes and games, like if it's a game that I really, really like and get really into, then yeah, I'll get into that part of it. But that's like game plus for me. Like I've really got to be into that game and play it a lot.
I don't remember you getting into Slay the Spire. Did you even buy it?
No.
Okay.
Maybe one of the... How much is it on Steam right now?
Well, first of all, you don't like card games, right? It's mostly a card game.
Yeah, but it seems casual enough. It seems like a good game just to have on between rounds of pots, though. That's what
most people use it for, right?
Well, that's how I found out about it. It's $10 right now on the sale. Maybe I'll pick it up for that.
Wow,
it seems like a game. If this were mobile, I'd definitely get it, especially with the trip coming up.
They definitely should do that. Man, I want to Switch so bad. I want to mention this. I'm just going to shoehorn this in there. For my 40th, somebody gave me a Nintendo Classic. Have you seen these, Bobby?
Oh, yeah, where they remade them? The controller is just like the original one,
right? It's the original controller, and the unit is slightly bigger than the controller. Like, it's thicker, but it weighs
almost
nothing.
Is this the one that comes with games preloaded on it?
Yeah, there's 30 games on it. You can't... It doesn't even open, that little cartridge thing. I mean, it's a replica. It's a tiny little replica of an old SNES. Mm-hmm. I've gone on record before as saying, like, nostalgia, I'm immune to. Like, I don't feel nostalgia. So the whole thing, I mean, it was cool. But I took one look at those games, and I was just like, I'm I'm never going to play these. But I was like, what am I going to do with this? I was thinking about giving it to somebody that has nostalgia. And then Sam's like, give it to Mila. And I was like, oh, yeah. So then watching her play games that I used to play today was really cool. Like, I really... That tickled my heart a little bit. And then I had never played a Kirby game, but Kirby's on there. And Sam had played a lot of Kirby.
That's one of the best Nintendo games. That one holds up.
She was teaching Mila how, like, oh, you got to eat that guy so you can fly or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
I was like, man, it was really cool.
Those Nintendo games, they got really good at the end. Because the Nintendo console was around forever. And... like 10 years or something. And some of those games at the end of the Nintendo lifespan got really good. Kirby is definitely one of them. You know what I was thinking of playing? Because I have a Bluetooth Super Nintendo controller that's just a straight-up Super Nintendo controller remade. Super Mario World, like the original one that came with the Super Nintendo. It's a great game. Yeah. Like,
maybe the best game on that system, possibly.
Yeah. One of the best. I mean, there are some great Super Nintendo ones. Like Street Fighter.
We have a shout out to give you.
Oh yeah! During the break, we noticed JP Diddy coming in with a $50 donation.
Boom! Boom!
Big
boom!
Fucking box, dude. Hell yeah! Thank you.
Yeah, man.
So much. That's I got to turn the notifications on. I'm really sad that we missed that when it happened. But thank you.
Yep.
All right. Last piece of news here.
Overwatch. New character they have a new character. He is a hamster in a ball, which is interesting. His name is Wrecking Ball, and they're playing off the whole hamster in the ball thing. But obviously, his ball is like this mech. I haven't seen too much gameplay. Have you seen any gameplay, Bobby?
No, I'm so out of the loop on Overwatch. I did hear about this, and I heard that it was generally well received because it's a far-fetched thing. Like, our new character is a hamster in a ball. I mean, that's pretty out there, man.
Well, everybody is a human except for, either a robot or a human, except for Winston, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what's going on with these humanoid animals? So if there's one, there should be more. And it looks like from the little cartoon that he comes from the same lab that Winston came from. So. Yeah, they give him this crazy fucking mech. So so
the mech grabs the terrain and swings like a wrecking ball. This seems like a very fun hero to play.
Yeah, I
imagine it being a hit.
Load it up just to play it. Yeah. I love Bobby. Do you ever go into practice mode and fuck around with like if a game has a bunch of characters like Overwatch and go into training and just fuck around with them?
No, hardly ever.
I've probably spent 2 hours in training. Just fucking around with the heroes. I like learning the little intricacies and what they do.
I feel like I can only truly learn a hero if I play it in the natural habitat in a game.
But sure. But it's nice going in having an idea. No?
Yeah. I mean, that's good. Yeah. All
right. And you're also doing your teammates a disservice, you jerk.
That's why I don't play ranked. At least not in Overwatch. Oh, my God. This is not in the news, but did you watch this?
Who is this?
This is Blizzard explains the entire history of World of Warcraft. This was on Wired. It's good if you played World of Warcraft. This is not. I've watched other WoW documentaries that kind of retell the history of Warcraft.
Of the game, not the lore.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I thought it was
the
lore.
The development of it.
Okay.
But this is like straight up a dude just talking to the camera like this happened and then this happened and then we did this and that. Like they kind of go through everything very systematically. It almost feels like a presentation at like a keynote at BlizzCon or something.
And in a good way?
I don't know. It started off, I wasn't really interested in it. I was kind of, I was having a hard time getting through it, but near the end it got pretty interesting.
Whole hour?
Yeah, it's 50 minutes long. It's the entire history, like this is when we developed it, these are all the things that we did, and kind of a little behind the scenes stuff. But yeah.
And speaking of those keynotes at Blizzard, those are awesome.
Like, yeah, they're all great.
Yeah, you just sit there, especially like Bobby watching the guy talk about how they make heroes on Heroes of Storm. Like, how sweet was that, Bobby?
Yeah. It was great, but it's impossible to see all those things. You got to get the Blizzard pass, whatever, for $40, and you can watch it all. Or just wait a while, and it'll end up on YouTube. But yeah, they're great.
I'm a little upset with you.
Why's that?
I asked you a question on Discord. You didn't respond.
What question did you ask me?
I asked you what you thought about the Raynor rework.
I did not. Did you tag me?
Yeah, I did tag you.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that.
Yeah. And I also asked you what you thought about the scouting drones being out of the game now because of the rework.
Yeah, those are good questions, man.
Yeah, I know.
You're interested in that.
I'm not interested at all.
Well, here's the thing with Raynor.
I wanted to talk to my friend, and I was looking at some common ground.
Well, the thing that's weird about this whole Raynor rework, people have been...
We're talking about Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, Heroes of the Storm. Raynor is the starting character. Like, you learn to play the game. Here's Raynor. He shoots things. He's basically a Marine. Yeah, he's basically a Marine from StarCraft. Like, he's not a complicated hero. People have been... dying for a rework for him, and here's
is
the story.
Where is he at in the meta, or where was he?
Like way down there, like abysmal. Yeah,
but just because he's simple,
he's just not that good. He's okay. An auto attack hero that just doesn't do enough damage, and sure. Yeah, he's got issues. He's not in the meta at all.
Okay.
It's been a long time since he has been, but he people rally around certain characters in that game because of their pre-existing history. One of those being Raynor, because, you know, he's the hero of StarCraft.
Right. So people will try to make him work just based because he's Raynor?
Well, yeah. Or people will go on Reddit and be like, we need a Raynor rework.
Okay,
like, dude, no, we don't. What about Butcher? Nobody's like, we need a Butcher rework. When's the last time we saw him? But Raynor is one of those people. Arthas always gets that. He's kind of in a good spot, but people, like, complain about his character model. They think it's all wrong, and like they put these pictures on Reddit, and there's like one little detail that they're like see what I'm talking about, like the belt's different. I'm like, dude, who gives a shit?
They do.
Yeah exactly. So people come into the game with all these feelings for these characters, and no other MOBA has that. And
back to Reynor, probably. What are they doing to him? What's going to happen? Do you know?
I haven't watched the whole... I've watched the new video, but I haven't really gone through, like, all his talent traits. But they're redoing him and another character. I mean, it's fine. Whatever. He might be playable now, because he definitely wasn't before.
Okay.
Right.
And then the scouting drones? Is that a... He's the last one that's going to... They're taking away that talent from that talent tree.
I think that's okay, because they have other... They used to call them all scouting drones, but they have other vision tools in the game that you're able to use. So I think that's okay.
Like, all right. So I want to tell you what painstaking things I did. I went to the Heroes of Storm subreddit. I saw what people were talking about. I was like, I'm going to apply this to my friend Bobby. And I sent you, I tagged you, and I asked you.
I did not see that.
Yeah, I know.
Damn.
You don't see my love either.
I'm blind to it. 12 Gauge says it seemed like they're kind of hyping WoW Classic in that video. It kind of did,
sure.
But I don't know. I'm hyped for WoW Classic just in general. I really am excited about that game, but they went through like original WoW, like vanilla all the way up through all the reworks and everything they had to do for each of them. It was cool to see all the changes they made. Like, this is our focus on the next patch. We want to make it all about this. And it seemed to me they were actually hyping Battle of Azeroth, because that's how they ended. Like, they talked about Battle of Azeroth, what they hope to accomplish.
Is that the new
new expansion coming out? But what was most interesting about this video, I should probably play it for the people who are watching here. What was most interesting is when they talked about, you know, every time they make a new expansion, they learn something. But what they did in the last one, what was the last one? Not Warlords of Draenor, Legion. They made these artifact weapons, which is like this weapon that you get, and you upgrade this weapon as you play through the expansion. And when the expansion's over, I think that weapon is just nullified. Now you're onto something else. But it works really well because you don't have this item that they now have to incorporate in the rest of the game going forward. They can have an expansion just be this one thing and have like a beginning and an end to it, and then you move on to something else in the new expansion. Whereas in the past, it's like, if we make a new dungeon, well, now this dungeon's just obsolete and it's just stuck in the world, and at some point we got to rework it. So that was one of the more interesting perspectives I saw in this video.
Cool.
Yeah.
How many more years for your WoW?
How many what?
More years, you think?
Dude, I hope it's around when I retire, because that's what I plan on doing.
In some shape or form, it will be.
Yeah.
Even if it's like not Blizzard servers, it'll be somebody.
Well, it's got to be, dude. I don't think it's ever going away.
You can't say that, dude. Blizzard might not be around. You never know.
Blizzard has built like a community almost. Like when we went to BlizzCon, you saw it. There are people who will not let this franchise die.
If you love Blizzard games, go to BlizzCon.
Well, it's not like a special place. I mean, everyone tries to go to BlizzCon, but it's so hard to get in.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I really hope we're able to go this year. I will, if I can. All right. A little hardware talk going on in our Discord. I thought I'd put it in here. G-Sync monitors. HDR monitors. They finally have one that is compatible with G-Sync.
And what's HDR?
High dynamic range.
Okay, which means just looks cooler.
See, that's the problem.
Looks better.
It's a little complicated. So, to my understanding, HDR is like your blacks are blacker, your whites are whiter. There's more dynamic range between the light and the dark.
Gotcha.
So you got these nice inky blacks. You know, it's just better picture quality overall. Now the problem with HDR is everyone's got their own version of it. They advertise HDR. That's not real HDR. So you never really know what you're getting. It's like it's dangerous to go out and start buying HDR stuff because you don't really know what you're getting unless you do a lot of research. But it's like one of the big new crazes in monitors right now. And a lot of people are talking about it. And I think only new AAA games are using it. I don't think it works for a lot of games.
It's not compatible.
You can look up like HDR compatible games.
Interesting.
And it's like all the good ones that you would expect, all the newest ones.
Right. AAA titles.
This is not something that I'm going to go out and buy.
This is a weird looking monitor. What are those flappy flaps?
The flaps on the side. The only thing that I can think of is just
speakers. Is what I was thinking.
No, not speakers. Just like they keep it dark. So when you, I know in photography or in video, they call this negative light or negative exposure. Sometimes when you put, you see how we've got these umbrellas up here, like, I don't know, I'm getting into an explanation that's just going to come out all wrong, but basically they make things darker so the screen seems brighter. So it looks like horse blinders on.
Yeah,
on this monitor.
Don't like it.
It's $2,000.
$2,000.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that it's the Predator X27. Mine's the Predator X34. Mm-hmm. Weird that the lower one is better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be? I don't know.
I don't know. This is a 4K monitor, 144 hertz refresh.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a fucking beast.
I'm sure it's a great monitor, but yeah. Man, $2,000.
I'm not about the flappy life, man, at all.
I'm sure you can take those off.
I'm sure you could, but go. How big is this? It's not an ultra wide.
It doesn't look like an ultra wide. I mean, if it's 4K, 3840 by 2160, then what aspect ratio is that? I don't know.
Who knows?
You'd think that'd be the first thing that they mentioned.
How big
is the monitor?
Yeah. But I guess it's going for something
standard,
like 24 or something.
I'm guessing because it's X27, it's a 27 inch.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense because mine's 34.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a 34 inch. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, HDR has been... There's been a lot of people arguing about it in the hardware section of the Discord. And, like, it's just one of those things that it is not... I'm nowhere near buying a new monitor, so I haven't even bothered to look into it.
When's the last time you bought yours?
Couple years ago, but I love my monitor, man. I think it's great. I think it's a little too big because it's tough to play HOTS on it, but
I think it's way too small.
27 inch, man. You can't. 24 inch is like competitive standard, but 24 inch is pretty damn small. All right, we got a lot of feedback here, a lot of listener questions.
Yeah, thanks guys, because it's just two people talking here, so
yeah. So we got to fill it up somehow.
Yeah.
But I think we've
this is going well.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot. This is not like our funniest or most entertaining one, but I think we've talked a lot of.
Yeah, because you've been talking. It's been
we've had some. Good
I'm super
points.
Tired. Obviously, I had my 40th birthday last night, and I'm a little hungover. And alcohol doesn't seem to work today. I'm drinking and drinking and drinking, and I don't feel any better. Here's to more drinking.
Just keep trying. All right, NJ Slap asks, do you ever want to play a single-player game but can't get yourself to play it due to friends playing a multiplayer game? Do you prefer delving deep into a single-player storyline, or would you rather play a co-op or PvP-type game with friends? If you like both, how do you compensate for it?
It's pretty easy. When my friends are playing, I play the multiplayer one. When I have time away from them, away from work, away from bitches... I'll play my I'll play the single player game. The interesting thing about these, I'm guessing you're talking about like a big, like a Fallout 4. If I know I don't have 2 hours at least, I'm not even going to fire it up.
Yeah. It's a commitment.
It takes you, and it takes you 20 minutes to like get deep into it and feel the immersion. The immersion happens around. You can't play those games for an hour. So if I have a day, that's when I get into those games. That's how I look at it.
I think a lot of people do both. They have one multiplayer game that they're always playing with their friends, and then they have that one single player game that they play whenever. I don't even wait till like I don't have anyone to play with. It's really whatever I feel like doing, and usually that's a multiplayer game. I think but single player games are just not doing well in this landscape. It's a very lonely way to play a game, at least for me. Like I don't know. I think it's harder and harder to make a game like that. I think all these games that come out that are single player games have some sort of multiplayer component to it that makes them a little less isolated.
I don't. So we have Wolfenstein, the new Blood. Yeah.
The new one coming out.
New Blood, right?
Yeah, New Blood.
Yeah, coming out. And that's going to be a two-player co-op. And I feel like it's going to feel like a single-player game. Like, it's going to feel like a Wolfenstein, the new Wolfensteins. But I'm going to have Bobby there with me. I'm hoping he's going to play with me. Maybe if I
keep... Hey, it's Wolfenstein, dude. You know I'm always...
Maybe if I keep hitting him with these hot questions, he's going to... he'll warm up to me. But that's really going to be interesting to see. Like I just said on Dying Light, some games aren't better multiplayer. Some games, sometimes you just want all the goodness to yourself. You don't want to be distracted. I want to hear all the dialogue. Some games are so finely crafted.
Yeah. See, for me, single player, like addressing Slap's question here, single player to me feels a little more, I don't know, rewarding. It's like reading a book. I feel proud of myself when I beat a single player
game. There you go.
Like when I finish Knights of the Old Republic 2, like I'm going to feel accomplished.
And not just that, dude. When you tell us, we're like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, good job.
And then I come here and I talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing. Yeah. But, you know, playing a multiplayer game, it's like, fuck, just another day, you know, just whatever. It's you're missing that sense of completion with it, I think. So, I don't know. I think I, like most gamers, go back and forth between what I want to do, but there's always an urge in me to play these single-player games.
Cool. Well, and then off topic, he says.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is from Junkors. I forgot his name in chat already. Junkzor. Asked earlier in Twitch chat. Off topic, but I have been listening to your podcast for a bit now. Never heard you guys even mention Rocket League. You guys never got into Rocket League? I think we gave it Game of the Year. Or we tried to.
It definitely was nominated that year. It was like one of the first years. Maybe second year.
Yeah.
Second year out. So I don't know if this works this far back. But if anybody ever has a question like this, you can go to our website, dlgaming.net, go into the search bar, and look up Rocket League. And you'll see when we tagged and talked about it.
I'm pretty good about tagging the episode. So any episode we talked about a game, you just look it up there. And
but that was so early. I think it might have been.
Dude, no, I've done this since the beginning. I actually went in and I typed in Heroes of the Storm to find the very first episode from the first time I played Heroes of the Storm.
Did you hear yourself?
And me and Chad talked about it. And I was like, fuck, man. It was, first of all, we had a great conversation about it. And some of the things that I said about it are just like, I nailed it. Even like at the very beginning, I knew there was something great about that game. I might have it coming up
for you
clip show. Yeah. Well, it's not for everybody, but that search function does work.
Yeah, it does
just
work.
Be careful with those old episodes, man. They are rough. Dude. The audio quality. Ooh, damn.
The Mexicans. Like there's so many things going wrong.
Yeah, but Rocket League, we really enjoyed.
How can you not like that game?
It was a fantastic game. Of course, being a controller game, I tried so hard to make it work on a keyboard and mouse. I had difficulty getting into it, but we've got some people on Discord, most notably Jens, who is a fanatic about that game, incredibly good.
And not just that, but we have on our Discord, we have somebody who has a podcast about Rocket League. I can't think of who it is right now. There's too many people, but Yeah.
Just, yeah, it's got a competitive scene. I mean, yeah. Rocket League's great, man.
Yeah, we watched, well, we watched some of the grand finals a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I played that game.
Yeah. Well, it's a controller game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or you play that on keyboard?
I'm so bad. You know, the last time I did play was when Emu Killer was down here. He was down visiting, and we were looking for a game to play together. And anytime I play Rocket League with someone, it's basically them just carrying me.
Dude, yeah.
They're like scoring goals, and it does the replay of the goal. You just see me like sailing by upside down, just that makes no sense. Idea what I'm doing, dude. I'm so bad at that game. It's embarrassing. It's a fun game, but yeah. I struggle with it. All right. NJ Slap has another question, but it's directed at Chi, so we'll save that for another week.
Can I answer as Chi?
Sure. All right. This question is for Chi or anyone else who plays CSGO. What rank were you last and your three favorite maps?
Okay. Well, it really matters about like when you're talking about it. So way, way, way back when, like before there was ranks, like I was the shit. But now that there's official ranks, I'm not doing too well. But that's only because... Like, all right, we'll move on.
It's touchy when you talk about someone's rank. You got to be careful there.
Yeah.
Bullstone asks, what game on Steam have you spent the most amount of time on? Do you think resolution on monitors and TVs will stop improving in the near future? All right, those are two different questions.
Yeah, completely different. We
Let's
need
start
periods.
With the first one.
All right.
Most Steam. Hours on Steam. You could look it up.
Yeah, so... If you're going to go off Steam, I would say EverQuest for sure. I have like a year on that game. A year played. Think about that. Think about what that means. A year played. But on Steam, it's either Binding of Isaac or Skyrim. But probably Binding of Isaac. And if you look at my
Not
profile.
Not TF2?
No,
they
but
only
it's
started
up
counting
That'd
hours,
be number
I think,
three.
In 2007 or
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I feel like it might be TF2 as well. Those are one of those three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think
in no particular
TF2
order.
Came out what 2006, 2007. Then yeah. like a whole year went by, and then they started counting hours yep. on Steam. But yeah, for me, it's probably TF2 or Left 4 Dead 2. I think it's Left 4 Dead 2. What's really weird about my Steam most played is I've got some really weird titles up there at the top, like. I think Stardew Valley is actually getting up there now. But I've got Super Monday Night Combat is way the hell up there. I played a ton of that game, dude. I binged that game pretty badly one summer.
They had such a good game. I want to go talk about it again.
That game and Age of Empires Online for some reason is way the hell up
jerk.
There. I don't know why. Do not know why. But yeah, it's got to be Left 4 Dead 2 as the top one on mine. Now,
the only thing I like better than Armies, cartoony Armies.
I do like cartoons.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right. Okay, so the second part of that question from Bullstone. Do you think resolution on monitors and TV will stop improving in the near future? I think it's becoming less of a focus. Like the resolution. Yeah. We're getting
it's more about refresh rates, HDR.
Yeah, other things.
Quality HDR, within. Because
IPS panels.
I hate to even
like
say
like the color game.
I got in trouble last time I brought this up. Most females, like they say, I can't tell the difference. Like when I asked them 720, 1080, mm-hmm. Whatever, they're like, just play the movie. And I'm like, no. I downloaded the 1080 and I want to watch it in 1080.
Well, their tiny brains can't process.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the reptilian brains. Go procreate.
Oh, my God.
It's but I think it's because they don't care. Or
it's,
I don't know.
The same thing with old people. Too,
do you run into, have you heard this? Can you make this correlation?
Mm-hmm. No, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
And yeah, you got to spend a lot of time with something to notice the little differences.
Exactly.
Like that. But resolution is getting to the point where if it gets any bigger, you need a bigger screen to really take advantage of that or to be very, very close to it. Like if it's a monitor you strap on your head, like a VR system, yeah, that needs a really high resolution so you don't get the screen door effect. Or if it's like a Jumbotron, yeah, that needs a really high resolution. But if you have a 27-inch monitor, it doesn't really need any more than 4K or 1440p, I think, at this point. That's my understanding of it. So, yeah, there's plenty of other things that I think is becoming more of the focus now. Like we said earlier, HDR is like a big topic.
It's
right kind of
when like the megapixels on phones. 8 megapixels, 100 megapixels. It's like, how big are you going to make that picture? You have to, like, if you have 100 megapixels, you have to make a billboard in order to use that all.
Yeah, the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's good. I think monitors are getting better still.
They're
finding
for sure
ways to improve them.
But it won't be resolution, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, 8K.
I remember my first IPS panel blew me away. Like, I was like, holy shit, I'm never buying a TN panel again.
8K seems unnecessary, doesn't it, Bobby? There's some TVs out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to, I do this a lot. I film in 4K and then I downscale it to 1080p because I don't lose resolution. I can scale up. I can zoom in on parts of the video. Right. So when you see like 8K cameras and people think that's overkill, not really, because then you can like pan and scan in post and that shit's great. So, but from just like a monitor, from an actual monitor, 8K. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Plus, your graphics card has to push all those pixels, man. That
would take even in TVs. Like, I don't know. I don't like that next jump.
Well, TV, it's really hard getting for old. Them to push
these kids with these 8K mat panels.
I mean, to have an 8K video, you can't put that on a DVD, dude. Like,
yeah, you have that's to the other thing. Nobody's producing
some system. Yeah, you have to have 8K content.
Nobody's even making 4K content for the most part. Like, yeah, it's hard to find
unless you've got a media center, like yeah. a computer you built to do it. It's kind of rare.
This just jumped into my head, Bobby, and I've been hanging out on Diplo Discord a little more. They're going to watch the... It might have been tonight. I'm not sure. But
oh, yeah, they do movie nights.
They do movie nights.
Yeah, they're doing The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool, and I wanted to do it. I think it might be Monday, just letting people know.
Yeah. Yeah, they did Full Metal Jacket one night. They do some good ones. And they use a service called Rabbit, which is something where you can share your screen with other people. It's pretty cool. I've checked it out. But yeah, that's awesome that they do movie nights. I think it usually is on Sundays. All right. oh, boy. We got another question from Junkster.
Yeah, I'll do it just because we have some time to fill. Junkster's coming in with a late question. Can Emilio elaborate on his EQ history? I was extremely, extremely addicted and very, very good at this game. We were in one of the best guilds from the beginning. It was fun. I was a gnome necromancer named Omega Red. I would solo, and then raid time, I was doing pretty good. Then I had a troll warrior after that. And leveled that up. I played from the beginning. I did Nagafin. I did Nox. I did all the Vox. My best story is when we went to a Nagafin store raid. The 40 man raids, and everybody in the guild had died on this raid except for one level 46 archer or ranger that we brought. He killed it with the last arrow. He had like no visible health left, and he killed it with this arrow. And the guy leveled up from it was 44 to 47, killing one NPC. And he's like, dude, I just leveled up three fucking levels. And then we all got up, including a hell level, level 45 at that point. Bobby, every five levels was called a hell level, and it take you five levels of XP to get through that one level. So like
it sounds like such a miserable game.
It was terrible. Oh, dude. And when you died, you lost XP unless you got rezzed, and then you would only rez like 45% of your XP. So if you died, it was really, really rough.
Yeah, man. I never played EverQuest back in the day, and I don't, that sounds like too much.
It was so hard, man. So hard.
Too much.
Yep.
All right. Warconius has a whole bunch of questions.
All right. I hope they're good.
Deep Rock Galactic was fun, but I wish it looked better. Any other games you can think of that play great but look like crap? I wouldn't say DRG looks like crap. I mean, it has like a blocky Lego look.
I guess the job done.
Yeah, but that game, I mean, it's doing something because it makes my computer sweat like Dying Light does. So, yeah, games that don't look great, but
Binding of Isaac looks terrible when you look at it. Terrible, and then. You know, the gameplay and the RNG makes it a good game.
I mean, I'm not a graphics whore, though, dude. I care so little about graphics these days.
Yeah, especially playing a fucking gun. Jesus Christ. So bad.
Yeah. I forgot to switch the camera back.
There we go. What was it on? My left nipple?
The right one.
Oh, okay. That one's the better one. If I had my choice.
All right. So I can't think of any other games that look really bad but are a lot of fun. Like, I'm trying to think of a good answer to that. Like, one where the graphics draw people away from it, but you got to be like, no, this is actually really good. Maybe FTL is the best example I can
give. Yeah, FTL is really, really good.
Because you look at a screenshot, you're like, nope.
Super Meat Boy.
Thank you.
Looks terrible.
Some games don't have, like, Super Meat Boy, I wouldn't say has bad graphics, but more stylized. Like, going for that retro look, which is big these days.
I thought they were terrible.
Okay. All right, next question from Mark Conius.
What is that one? Junk or... Fucking jazz punk.
Jazz punk, yeah.
Stylized,
yeah.
But some that's
kind of an adventure game, though. Like, that's not an... I know Chi loves that game. I really like that game, but it's adventure borderline puzzle game. But I don't, that one's not for everyone.
No, for sure.
Yeah, if you stay up late smoking weed watching Adult Swim, then you might like that game. let's see. Name one JRPG on Steam you would like to try.
Final Fantasy 15, maybe?
I don't play JRPGs. Final Fantasy 3, or technically 6, and I do play it. That's the only Final Fantasy I ever got into. You know what? There is some. I bought one, and it's a very popular series, and they're supposed to be really good. Tales of Berseria? There's a bunch of Tales of games.
Okay.
But the one I got is Tales of... Let me look it up.
Sounds terrible.
Lab Monkey. Yeah. No, dude, they're supposed to be really good, but they're like 75 hours long.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm just going to... Tales of... I'm not finding it.
Yep. Oh, there you go. So top one. TM.
Berseria. Yeah. And then there's a bunch of like Tales of...
Damn, they're on sale big time right now, too. 75% off.
Yeah. I think these are older games. It's by Bandai Namco, so...
Yeah. Go play Battle Chasers. You'll like that more.
That's on sale for like $15 right now?
I'm not sure. I haven't checked it because I own it.
I saw it on the front page and thought about getting it. Okay. Also from Morconius. In honor of Canada Day, your favorite thing about Canada?
Ooh.
Chi, what's up? Chi just showed up in chat.
Hey, lady.
Got favorite thing about Canada?
That I haven't gone there. I'd like to go. No, like, not in a bad way. I want to go there.
Well, they did just legalize weed, right?
Yeah.
The whole country.
October, I believe, that goes live.
Okay. So that's progressive. I like that.
Yeah, for sure. Healthcare. I think that would...
Yeah. Okay. They got universal healthcare.
Yep.
And maple syrup. It's supposed to be pretty good up there.
I've heard.
What are those donut shops?
You ever bought maple syrup? 100% maple syrup?
Like the real shit?
Yeah.
No.
So for something like maybe this size or half of this would be about $17. Damn. It's really expensive.
It's like drugs, man. That's drug prices.
They give you the little bit free.
But what are those donut shops they got up there that are supposed to be amazing? Hortons?
I don't know.
So there's a Canadian chat. I know it. Come on. Hortons, right? Horton Joe's or something.
That's about it, I guess. I can't. Hey, man. They're really nice.
Canadians in general are very nice people.
Yeah, they're very nice people.
Yeah. All right. Wait a second. This is, again, Morconius. He just has a whole bunch of them.
Well,
Tim Hortons. There we go. Tim Hortons, and it sucks. Okay.
Yeah. I asked him, I asked everybody. I was like, I knew it was just two of us, so we needed content. So I was like, guys, we need it bad. And Warconius
hooked
it up.
He came through.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Tim Hortons. You know, I had Voodoo Donuts for the first time like a year or two ago. That
lived up to the hype?
I'm not a donut guy, but I couldn't tell a good donut. They're just kind of wacky. It's like, hey, Fruit Loops on a donut. Okay. I love Fruit Loops, so they kind of cut the roof of my mouth, but...
Yeah.
All right. What do you say? And your favorite game from a Canadian publisher and or developer?
Wouldn't know. Maybe the Ubisoft games that come out of Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a new game coming out, too. What's that say about Patreon?
I don't see anything about Patreon.
Last question. Your thoughts on having Patreon guests on the podcast via Skype?
Okay. Well, via Skype, but...
Yeah, anybody can be on the podcast.
Yeah, no.
If you're really good at one game, if you have more than 100 hours in a game, we want to hear about it. message either me or Minnie. Bobby won't get back to you. And
not even if it's about Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, you can pick whoever you want, actually. Chi. Well,
I think I
but
I don't
she
know
won't
if this
actually
is...
do it either. So
she might. She'll say she will.
Yeah, she'll say she will.
But this is what I would like to do. I'd like how we do listener spotlights and we kind of tag those on at the end. But I'd like to just do like, you know, we call her line one, you know, it's, and have people on the live show. Like just hop in Discord.
People are crazy, dude.
But if we had a trusted, you know,
we
like
could
someone,
try. We could
like
try.
Someone who's been around for a while and we know isn't going to be a total weirdo.
We could try.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you know a game really well. Let us know, especially one that we haven't talked about. If you're really good at Heroes, don't want to hear from you. Don't give a shit.
You got enough of that around.
Binding of Isaac, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? So, but if you've played a million hours of, what's a game? Like
Train Simulator. I want to hear all about it.
That's a rough detail. One. That's a rough one. But yeah, baby. All right, let's move it on.
All right. Last question from Fastidious. Can you give us a rundown of this week of Switched On, enjoyable, well-made Metroidvania titles, roguelike or otherwise? Title either older but still updated, recent releases, or anything you're excited about coming up in the next quarter?
Well, Dead Cells is fantastic.
I think that's been the best one we've had recently, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, me and Minnie just fell in love with this game, played the fuck out of it, and they're constantly updating. I hit them up for an interview, but they're French and they're also very busy working on this game. But it's early access, but it's super playable. You can just have fun with it. It's great, great fun. There's another one called The Last Human on Earth, The Aquatic Adventures of the Last Human on Earth. That's a very lesser known title. You're playing as a submarine in a flooded Earth. And you're just going around, very Metroidvania, 8-bit graphics, but great. I mean, pixelated graphics, but just really well done. It's just a fun little Metroidvania.
I think I do remember you playing this game.
Yeah, man. You know, it's all boss fights. There's no minions, so that's good.
You know what this reminds me of? The Red October game on Super Nintendo.
That, graphically, yeah, for sure. What else? Obviously Ori and the Blind Forest has a sequel coming out. Those are good. Oh, shit. I might've even bought this. If I haven't bought it, I'm going to buy it right now. That pinball game, Bobby, like something about Island, pinball, Metroidvania. Ooh, shit. Something
Yoko's
about
Island Express.
Yeah. Yoko's Island Express. It's only 10% off. But Sam has said, buy it for me now. It's $17.99 right now. I want to play it.
Oh yeah. That's by fun. Team 17. The guys who made the, that's just the publisher.
Yeah, man. Publisher so report. Don't buy this game right now. If you want to save 10%, otherwise wait for me next week. I will try to have some sort of review for you for next week. Yep.
That game looks interesting. There's one other game. There's something I wanted to look up to see the price because I wanted to see how much it was. Oh, Ori and the Blind Forest. Yeah, someone was just telling me that I think Borconius was telling me that he had just finished that game and it was amazing. Everyone says it's amazing.
It's one of the most beautiful games.
But it's a challenging game, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Especially on controller.
Yeah, it's a controller game. I don't know. $10 for the definitive edition.
Jeez, dude. That's such a steal.
I don't know. If I'm going to play it, I'll buy it. But, yeah, I feel like that's one of those games you have to play.
It feels like you're playing an old Disney movie. It's a great-looking game. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, I think that's about it.
I don't think you've ever spoken so much. Like, yeah, not only was it just us two, but I was also fucking defeated.
Yeah, I had to pull some weight this week, but that's okay.
I appreciate
Next
it,
week
buddy.
We go back. We're going to have hopefully four people here, and I can go back to just running the controls, being quiet, making funny looks.
You don't prefer talking? I think people
Not every
appreciate
week,
it.
I don't think I could do it every week.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think people show up for that, the pizzazz, you know?
The pow. The big...
I don't know why Minnie isn't here, Chi. He was supposed to be. I could have swore he said that he was going to be here today, but He's been working out of town.
No.
Difficult for him.
So had we done it today early, he was going to be on.
So it was early today.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know that that was an option. It really wasn't. So either way, it doesn't really work out.
It was tough because everybody's got stuff
going
on. He's
so close to being fired. Like, you guys don't even know. Actually, he might be moving away. That's his goal. Yeah, he wants to move to Arizona or Texas or something.
I don't know. No. It's a bad idea. You want to move away from San Diego.
It's so expensive here, though. Especially
for a reason. It's worth it.
It's awesome.
Worth every penny.
Yeah. I took my family to Balboa Park today. It's arguably the most pretty place, other than the beaches, maybe, in San Diego. It's fucking gorgeous, man.
Yeah, Balboa Park is great.
Yeah.
But enough about San Diego. You going to wrap this up?
I guess so. We usually talk about
what are we playing next week? So I'm going to be gone for like 3 or 4 days next week. I really want to finish Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords. I'll be streaming that. Maybe Ori and the Blind Forest. I don't know.
Why is it called the Sith Lords?
That's just the tagline. It's like Knights of the Old Republic 2: the Sith Lords. I'm guessing the story is rolling out kind of slowly, but I kind of see where they're going. This takes place like way, way back in the old, like, you know, Mandalorian Wars, like old Star Wars history. So there's a lot of...
like before the prequels.
Like thousands of years.
Gotcha. Yeah,
which is not an area of Star Wars history that I bothered like researching a lot, because it all felt very fanfic to me. You know,
right.
Exar Kun and Vodo Sias Baz and all these characters, like the old Jedi Masters. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, but I feel like shit's about to really start going down now where I'm at in it. But
and they don't use... So it...
I haven't even got my lightsaber yet.
Like when guys die, they can't come back as Force ghosts, right?
Well, in one of the prequel movies, they mentioned, I think...
That Qui-Gon Jinn figured it out.
Yeah, figured it out.
Yeah.
And that's when they started doing
That's why I'm saying, in this game, do they use it?
No. There's no Force ghosts.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. What are you going to be playing?
Maybe this Yuki game. There was a game that I played that I didn't even mention. I guess I'll get back to it. I didn't really play it that much. I played Fallout VR. So maybe more on that. So those are the two I'm looking at right now. But that's it. I'm fucking exhausted from being... I'm 40 as fuck, guys. Everything hurts, from my toes to my titties. All right. Speaking for Bobby... This is so weird. And me. Go fuck yourselves. Painful titties. Bye-bye.
10 out of 10, Rhythm Access.
Dude, she's getting on my nerves.
Who's that?
It's this old lady that gets her hand cut off. I kind of get the feeling she's a dark Jedi and she wants to turn me.